Hallelujah. Master, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Philip sought out Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses spoke of in the law, the prophets too, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael's response to this was, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip replied, "Come, see for yourself." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he remarked, "This man is a real Israelite. There is no guile in him." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked him. "Before Philip called you," Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree." "Rabbi," said Nathanael, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus responded, "Do you believe just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than that." He went on to tell them, "I solemnly assure you, you shall see the sky opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. I still think we ought to have at least a short homilet. Today, on the feast of St. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, we are commemorating the feast day of not only one of the apostles, but one who went, so history tells us, all the way to India. Thomas and Bartholomew reached India. The lesson for us, I think, should be obvious. Except for the apostles, and I should add, who remained faithful to Jesus Christ, because there was a traitor among the apostles, Judas by name. But among the apostles, we know all but one paid for his faith in Christ by his blood. How we need today, first of all, bishops, dear Lord, bishops, priests, and religious who are faithful to the teaching of Jesus Christ. How we need the laity, faithful to the teachings of Christ as passed on by the successors of the apostles, but under Peter. We know, I'm sure we all know, that the Catholic Church in our country has been hit by a cyclone. I happen to be from the Pittsburgh Diocese originally. I've been reading. Now they're closing 42 churches in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Lord Jesus, give us, restore to us the faith that the apostles died to preserve. Three duties we have, dear Lord: to learn our faith, to live our faith, and to suffer for our faith. And you know and I know, to be a really faithful, honest to God, Roman Catholic in the world today means to be living the life of a martyr, and that is not poetry. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Saint Nathanael, otherwise known as Bartholomew, the apostle who brought the gospel to the Far East. Give us, dear Jesus, something of the faith that he had, so that living our Catholic faith today, and if need be dying for it, we may preserve that faith which Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us. Saint Bartholomew, apostle and martyr, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope in the Lord, I trust in his word. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You pay tithes on mint and herbs and seeds, while neglecting the mightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and good faith. It is these you should have practiced without neglecting the others. Blind guides, you strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You cleanse the outside of cup and dish, and leave the inside filled with loot and lust. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup, so that its outside may be clean. This is the gospel of the Lord." As often as we use the word St. Louis, city in Missouri, a lot of people hardly know who St. Louis was. Today is his feast. St. Louis, as we know, was King of France, died in 1270 while leading a crusade to save the holy places in Palestine. There have not been too many kings, civil rulers, who've been canonized. St. Louis is one of them. He lived a very holy life, a very chaste life, in fact, a heroic life, and died, I would say, we could have red vestments. He died a martyr for the faith. The one thing that I think is worth remembering, especially about St. Louis, is that he went to deliver the holy places from the Muslims, who by that time, as we know, had overrun much of the Eastern world. How casually, without a second thought, we think of Mary as the Mother of God. Mary as the Mother of God. What does that have to do with the Muslims? Everything. And the word is everything. In the eyes of the Muslims, we are idolaters. And their Quran tells them, either convert Christians or kill them. Unless they deny that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the mother of no mere man, but the mother of God. To claim, as we firmly believe, that the child that Mary gave birth to in Bethlehem to believe as we do that that child is, in the Muslim vocabulary, Allah, is to be an idolater. The greatest threat to the future of Christianity is from Islam. And the largest single concentration of Muslims in the United States is in our blessed city of Detroit, in case nobody told you. Pray for the conversion of the Muslims. Pray that they, through the merits of St. Louis, who died at their hands while leading a crusade, they might come to believe what so many of us think is, I'm afraid, a pious platitude, that Mary is the Mother of God. St. Louis, King of France, defender of Mary's divine maternity, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Let your face shine on your servant and teach me your laws. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful to look at on the outside, but inside full of filth and dead men's bones. Thus, you present a view, a holy exterior, while hypocrisy and evil fill you within. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You erect tombs for the prophets and decorate the monuments of the saints. You say, 'Had we lived in your forefathers' time, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophet's blood.' Thus you show that you are the sons of the prophet's murderers. Now it is your turn. Fill up the vessel measured off by your forefathers." This is the gospel of the Lord. How we need what we've just read in the gospel this morning. In so many ways, the picture of Jesus presented to the world is of a mild, gentle, kind, loving Savior. He is divine love become man. He is mercy incarnate. He took little children into his arms, blessed them. But Jesus Christ is God. God is love. Love become man. But Jesus Christ is also God, who is all just. If there is anything that the world needed in Christ's time, as it needs in our time, is for those who are not doing the will of God to be called frauds, hypocrites, tombs of dead men's bones. needs leadership. The world needs people in all places of society, in church and in state, who are leading the people according to the will of God. People are naturally, spontaneously followers. How they need leaders who are leaders and not misleaders. In this, what I have no doubt, is the most important election year in the history of our nation. In this, what one modern pope after another says is the most serious crisis in the church's history. How we need, dear Lord, how we need leaders who are faithful to God, who believe what Jesus Christ taught, and are willing to pay the price of telling the faithful what is their duty. I'll never forget the talk our Holy Father gave in Chicago on his first pilgrimage to the United States, pleaded with the assembled hierarchy of America. In the name of God, will you please tell the people there is sin, they are sinners, they need forgiveness. One closing request. Pray that once more our confessionals will be filled, that people will recognize they are sinners. Because it is a phrase I'm using, and I'm not ashamed to use it. The days of America are numbered. Lord Jesus, awaken us from the dream world in which so many of our contemporaries are living. Give us the light to know your will and the strength to do it, and protect us, dear Jesus, from the demon of human respect. Because, dear Lord, you are the just God who became man to teach us how we are to please you in this life and enjoy you, provided as sinners we are repented in the present life. Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shine on the world like bright stars. You are offering it the word of life. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, therefore. You do not know the day your Lord is coming. Be sure of this. If the owner of the house knew when the thief was coming, he would keep a watchful eye and not allow his house to be broken into. You must be prepared in the same way. The Son of Man is coming at the time you least expect. Who is the faithful, far-sighted servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to dispense food at need? Happy that servant whom his master discovers at work on his return, I assure you. He will put him in charge of all his property. But if the servant is worthless and tells himself, my master is a long time in coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, to eat and drink with drunkards, the man's master will come when he is not ready and least expects him. He will punish him severely and settle with him, as is done with hypocrites. There will be wailing then and grinding of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today on the feast of St. Monica, there's only one subject we should speak on, St. Monica. Her feast used to be, remember, May the 4th. It is now joined one day apart with the feast of her son, St. Augustine. Over the centuries, she has been the model of a long-suffering, patient, forgiving wife and mother. She was married to a pagan and of all names, Patrick. Well, he was a pagan, unfaithful and behaving like a pagan. The other women would meet with Monica and show her how they were beaten up by their husbands. Not a lash on Monica's body. But they asked her, Monica, how do you do it? She assured them, patience, forgiveness, and mercy. But Monica was a mother of St. Augustine. A wayward son, if there ever was one. One of his most famous books is a dialogue between himself and one of his illegitimate children. Augustine did not become a saint overnight. He was the patience, the mercy, the tears and the prayers of St. Monica that converted her son, Augustine. God puts difficult people into our lives. Our own relatives, our own children, those who are nearest and dearest to us. Over the years of her prayerful tears, Ambrose, the Archbishop of Milan, who finally baptized Augustine, over the years told Monica, be sure that the son of so many tears will not be lost. Whatever else Monica teaches us, it is trustful confidence in God's mercy. How we all need it today. To ask our Lord to give us some of the merciful forgiveness of Monica living with a lecherous, unfaithful husband, to give us some of the persevering prayer and confidence in God's mercy for her wayward son. Augustine is the greatest mind since St. Paul in Christianity. there will be no St. Augustine except for his mother, Monica. And mothers, not to forget, you do not cease to be mothers when your children are born. Pardon me, you begin to be mothers when they are born. Mother is both a noun and a verb. Children need mothering until death in this life, and I'd add, into all eternity. Saint Monica, faithful wife, merciful wife, loving, patient, and trustful mother, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading Hallelujah. The word of the Lord stands forever. It is the word given to you, the good news. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, avoid the title Rabbi. One among you is your teacher. The rest are learners. Do not call anyone on earth your father. Only one is your father, the one in heaven. Avoid being called teachers. Only one is your teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be the one who serves the rest. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today is the feast of St. Augustine, the greatest mind in the history of Christianity since apostolic times. Yesterday we celebrated the feast of his mother Monica, who through years of tears and prayers finally got both her husband and son converted. Once converted, Augustine became not only a repentant sinner, but a zealous defender of the truth. How we need St. Augustine's in the hierarchy today. Every heresy that plagued the church in Augustine's day, Augustine recognized, preached against, wrote against, and saved the faith of millions. What were three of the outstanding teachings of St. Augustine that we have been indebted to ever since? His defense of divine grace, his defense of human freedom, and his defense of the authority of the church to teach the truth. Grace, freedom, and the church's teaching authority. It was in his day that the heresy of Pelagianism plagued the church, claiming all you need to reach heaven is a strong backbone, a strong will. He don't need grace. Augustine, having been a sinner in the dregs of sin for years, he knew you cannot. And for Augustine especially, you cannot be chaste. Chastity without grace is insanity. Can't make it. How we need this lesson today in a world that had gone literally sex mad. Then we need God's grace. One sex education program after another, mandated, I'm told, for all the schools in the state of Michigan. From the first grade on, the children are to be taught to love homosexuals. They are perfectly normal people. Love them, and by implication, become like them. Grace, without which no one will reach heaven, and no one gets grace without prayer. Freedom. God's grace is not coercive. God's grace is offered to us. But recognizing God's grace, we've got to cooperate. In other words, we've got to use our free will. Once again, how we need this. Told by my friends, and of all the intentions to be praying for in the Mass today. For the reform of the perpetrators of crime. My friends who treat criminology tell me they don't know of a single book in criminology in any school, anywhere, that recognizes human freedom. They're the product of heredity, the product of environment, and the product of education. But don't talk about free will. No wonder our prisons are too small and our annual budget billions. The average cost of supporting a criminal in jail is now $22,000 a year. Free will. Those get to heaven who use their free will to cooperate with God's grace. That's Augustine. And finally, the church's authority. And when Augustine said that, you better listen. The more intelligent, a person is, the more educated, the harder it is, how well I know, the harder it is for people like that to humbly submit and accept the teaching of the church. The last couple of weeks, the Holy See came out with a strong document saying that homosexuals do not have the rights of other people, so they then can perpetrate their sin, seduce others. And one diocese after another, one bishop after another, God help America, God help America, blasting the Holy Father for coming out with this document denying these perverts their right to pervert others. We need, dear Lord, a St. Augustine today. I know I am being recorded, and especially in the hierarchy. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving the grace of conversion to Monica's son Augustine. Obtain for us, dear Lord, something of the wisdom and the courage of a St. Augustine, so that like him, we too may recognize the absolute need we have of your grace, for which we should constantly pray, to recognize we've got a free will to cooperate with your grace, and above all, the humility of obedience to your mystical body, the Church, so that we too, may reach heaven with St. Augustine. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Exalt you, just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Give thanks to the Lord for his glory. On the 10-string harp, chant his praises. The earth is full of the greatness of the Lord. For upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loved justice and right. Of his kindness, the Lord is full. The earth is fullest of the goodness of the Lord. The Lord brings to naught the plans of nations. He foils the designs of peoples, but the plan of the Lord stands forever. The designs of his heart through all generations. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. The man who follows me will have the light of life. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, avoid the title Rabbi. One among you is your teacher, the rest are learners. Do not call anyone on earth your teacher. Only God is your Father, the one in heaven. Avoid anyone to be called Father. Only one is your Father, the Messiah. The greatest among you is the one who serves the rest. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. But whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This being the Requiem Mass, as we used to call it, for Emily, I thought, there are three things that every funeral mass, which this is, even though Emily is not here, this is the funeral mass for her. Three things that immediately come to mind. First, the sorrow at losing someone, losing someone that we've loved. Secondly, the need for praying
for the souls in purgatory and praying specially for Emily. And then thirdly, a reminder of our own death and entrance into eternity. It is perfectly natural and normal for us to grieve when someone whom we've known and loved on earth dies. Christ himself at the tomb of Lazarus wept. In other words, there is nothing wrong, perfectly normal and pleasing to God, to mourn over someone who has died. However, and this is where our faith comes in, only God judges. Only God judges human beings. Only he knows what happens to a person once they've entered eternity. We trust that the person that we've known and loved are saved. We should trust. But we also know that there is expiation after death, and therefore we should pray for Emily. That's why we're having this Mass. And there is no more powerful means of obtaining expiation, reparation for the departed than offering Mass for them. Pray, therefore, for Emily in particular. Receive a few prayers after Mass for the repose of the soul of Emily. I do think I've ever met her. Now, thirdly, Mass for a deceased person should remind us that our own days are numbered. God knows exactly what year, what month, what day, what time of the day we're going to leave this world and enter the world to come. And one reason why God has so many people whom we've known to die before we do is to keep reminding us, my friends, remember, there's such a thing as remembering the future. Remember that you too will one day be called to give an account of your life here on earth. That is why I strongly recommend the last thing before we retire and the first thing in the morning, even a short prayer, to ask for a happy death. The Church teaches even a lifetime of the practice of virtue does not merit a happy death. We must pray for it. Lord Jesus, we beg your mercy on Emily, for whom this Mass is being offered. But we also ask you to keep us mindful every day of our lives, that we too will one day leave this world and enter eternity. We beg you, dear Lord, we beg you that we may be ready when you call us. Eternal rest grant unto Emily. May she rest in peace. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.